American history through a student's eyes. From the 20s to the New Deal, back to the crisis.
Welcome back to Charm on Air. Last time, we learned all about the Great Depression, but we didn't touch on what steps were taken to deal with the crisis. And deal is indeed the right word, because we are going to talk about the New Deal. How was Roosevelt elected? What were his major policies and how did they affect American citizens? Let's dig into all of this, shall we?
To start this emission, we will hear an historical record of Hoover's and Roosevelt's speech from 1932, animated by Andrea Perry, a famous journalist at the time.
Hello everyone, welcome to our political show. Today we are fortunate to be surrounded by the two presidential candidates, Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Herbert Hoover. Let's start directly with the question that all our listeners are asking. Why would you be a better president than your opponent?
So, first of all, we need change. Since Hoover brought us to this crisis and seems unable of getting us out of it, I really propose change with real solutions like the New Deal. It contains a set of measures which aim to raise the country economically and socially for the good of our fellow citizens.
According to what you're saying, you want to gamble the US enormous debt just to change what I've done? It's immature. I will be a better president than he.
Now let's talk about more concrete things. What measures would you propose for American workers, for example?
If I'm elected, we'll launch the NRA, the National Recovery Administration, which aim to eliminate unfair competitions and have a better salaries for our workers.
You just want to waste money. People that don't earn money are just lazy. Work hard to be paid. We don't need anything to be created just to have money.
Thank you very much. I hope this short program will have allowed our listeners to be more informed about this upcoming election.
Thank you for this fascinating recording.
Thank you. I hope this short program will have allowed our listeners to be more informed about this upcoming election.
Now, let's listen to the debate between the Hoover staff member Leana and the Roosevelt staff member Lily, with also the journalist Mayan Kaja, which was recorded in 1933.
We've just heard from the candidates in the presidential election, so you're no longer unfamiliar with the lines of their program. But they may still be obscure on certain points, and I suggest we come back to them with Taylor, a member of Herbert Hoover Party, and Rosie, a staunch supporter of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. When we were listening to Roosevelt's program, I saw you grimace at the mention of the New Deal, Taylor. What are you blaming me for?
What we need to understand is that Roosevelt was implicitly proposing an economic recovery policy, which on paper was hopeful, but the reality was quite different. Such measures are expensive, which pose two problems. Firstly, how could such a policy be financed at the height of the crisis? Then there is a dramatic increase in the federal debt. The legacy of the New Deal will be a condemnation to fall back into crisis and an obligation for the future heads of state to implement a policy of budgetary rigor, which is inevitable. So I can't stand the hypocrisy of Roosevelt, who wants you to believe in a better future when he knows that his New Deal is nothing but a populist lie. He got you all fooled, and you, Rosie, are an hypocrite and by standing by his side.
Me, a hypocrite? How dare you? You murderers. You let your people die while washing your hands of it. Children roam the country, women see their babies starve to death, and men sink into depression and alcohol. A policy of recovery is the only possible solution. It is not one of a list of options, it is the only one. We must help our citizens so that our economy can recover. You're right about one thing. The policy will be expensive. But let's not forget that in the midst of misery, extreme wealth persists, and it's them that will be taxing, and it's them that and foreign powers that will be incurring debts. Once the crisis is behind us and Americans are living in decent, comfortable conditions, all we have to do is repay these debts. We are the United States, we can do it, that's obvious.
You're tense, Taylor. I can almost see the disgust in your eyes. What's going on?
I never thought I'd have to deal with such an outspoken communist. All your words are a direct affront to the spirit of the founding father. You shame generation of Americans and abolish everything we believe in.
All this has nothing to do with communism, but with a sense of humanity. Comparing myself to a Bolshevik cannot be a serious insult when we are simply proposing to provide the basic needs for our fellow Americans. I can't argue with you any longer. Do you even have a heart?
Okay, and I think it's the end of this debate. Thanks for listening, and I hope see you all next weekend for a new emission.
Well, that was one interesting interview. Now, we'll go back in time in 1933, when Roosevelt was recording, talking to the radio about the solutions for the crisis.
My fellow people of the United States of America, I, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, have come on the NBC radio channel to tell you about the solutions the New Deal brings to your problems. In the New Deal, there will be both social and financial solutions to the issues currently plaguing the country. Firstly, measures to repatriate capitals from European banks, which means that your money will be brought back to you, so you no longer need to worry if you are able to afford your daily meals. Secondly, we plan to create the ABC agencies, which are agencies, acts, and corps to help you find some work again. These agencies will be a new start for you so you can repay these crippling debts on top of reaching a new all-time low in the unemployment rate in our hurt country. Work will be plentiful and you will no longer worry about trying your hardest to keep your job and even finding one. All will be fine. Finally, with a hope-filled heart, I am telling you that we will recover from this crisis thanks to the help of the New Deal and the welfare state it creates. Good night to you all. Persevere through the hardships. God bless America and God bless you.
Our next subject will be the analyze of the New Deal. It's the journalist Lola who will interview the expert Selene about the relief for the unemployed and for the poor people.
Good evening, everyone. Today, we delve into the economic situation of the 30s and the impact of the New Deal. I'm joined by our economic expert, Dr. Smith. Dr. Smith, how did the New Deal address relief for the unemployed and the poor?
Thank you for having me, Lola. The New Deal, introduced by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, aims at fighting against the Great Depression. One key aspect was the relief for unemployed and the poor through programs like Work Progress Administration and Civilian Conservation Corps. This initiative provided jobs and assistance to those in need.
Can you tell us about one more specific program that was a real turning point concerning the economic and social situation?
Yes, one of the most important programs was the Federal Emergency Relief Act of May 12 in 1933 that implemented President Roosevelt's first major initiative to combat the adverse economic and social effects of the Great Depression. The act established the Federal Emergency Relief Administration, a grant-making agency authorized to distribute federal aids to the state for the relief. By the end of 1935, the Federal Emergency Relief Administration had distributed over $3.1 billion and employed over 20 million people.
And one last question. What were the long-term results of the New Deal relief programs for unemployed and poor people?
The long-term results of the New Deal have been subject to debate. Some historians argue that these programs have helped stabilize the economy and elevated poverty in short term, while others emphasize that the Great Depression persisted until wartime spending during the World War II began to stimulate the economy. The New Deal programs also established structures and policies that influenced future social and economic policies in the US, such as Social Security and the welfare system.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. It was a pleasure. We can conclude by saying that the New Deal really helped the poor and unemployed people thanks to its diverse programs. However, some critics argue that they did not address the underlying issues of poverty and economic equality in long term.
Thank you, Lola and Selene. Now, we welcome Edgar Spike, expert of economy, and Doug Korbach, a famous journalist, who will talk to us about the recovery of the economy back to normal level.
Today, we're joined by Dr. Edgar Spike, an economist, to discuss the economic recovery post-New Deal. Dr. Edgar Spike, thank you for being here.
Pleasure to join.
How effective were New Deal policies in aiding recovery?
They injected funds, stabilized the economy, and laid the groundwork for future growth.
And what about the long-term impact?
Social Security reduced elderly poverty, while WPA projects improved infrastructure, fostering growth.
Critics argue it led to excessive government intervention. What are your thoughts about it?
Necessary during crises, it prevented collapse and implemented regulation to prevent future crises.
Do you have lessons for today's challenges?
Bold government action is key. Prioritize increased growth, invest in infrastructure, education, and social safety nets.
Thank you, Dr. Edgar Spike, for your insights.
Thank you for having me.
So, thank you, Dr. Spike and Mr. Korbach, for this great analysis. Now we will hear an analysis from the reform of the financial system to prevent a repeat depression from Louis and Camille.
We are two economists, more precisely specialists in the US economy and its fluctuations over time, particularly during the 1930s period. One of the main reform and pillar of the New Deal is Banking Act financial reform. Roosevelt wanted to break the cycle of despondency. Roosevelt reformed the banking system as he wanted to prevent massive withdrawals. So he created the Emergency Banking Relief Act. It set up a bank holiday, and during this, Treasury Department checked every banks and books. The sound one could reopen, but the insolvent remained closed to prevent larger banks to be dragged down from the smaller ones. Indeed, before Roosevelt's election, 2,000 banks had already closed in 1932. Roosevelt, through the New Deal, also introduced many regulations to the financial and banking system to make it more stable. It increased the power of and the control of the federal government. And during this, the early days of the New Deal, Roosevelt's government focused on emergency reform laws and relief programs.
But what about the direct consequences of the New Deal? Was it a success or not so much? We could say it was, as unemployment dropped significantly during Roosevelt's first term. Although it resulted in short-term deficit due to the government spending more than it earned, thus increasing national debt, it managed to increase the domestic product and drastically reduce bank failures. He managed to restore confidence in the banking system. Some even say he saved it from collapsing. However, it didn't fully recover, and the US economy wouldn't be the same as in 1929 before the beginning of World War II. But it still was successful, as it set the path to full recovery for the following years. It was a relative economical and social success and heavily impacted the US economy for years to come.
Thank you, Louis and Camille. It was fascinating. Now we will listen to Maëlys, Clemence and Tanina, experts and economists. They will analyze the second New Deal.
After his election in 1936, Franklin Delano Roosevelt decided to make things change. He had promised a New Deal for the American people, and he fulfilled it with its programs. The New Deal had a lot of benefits. It expanded the power of the judicial government, but it also helped to create new infrastructures such as roads, housing, railways, bridges, or dams. Many parks were created, many trees planted. Thus, it gave jobs to millions of Americans. The New Deal allowed clear banks to reopen, and overall, it helped to gain back confidence in the banking system.
The government got highly in debt, though, rising from $2.5 billion in 1933 to $5 billion in 1936. John Maynard Keynes promoted a policy to stimulate economic growth by giving money to consumers to fill it up. Ending the prohibition was also a good way to raise the government revenue by taxing alcohol. However, the New Deal wasn't appreciated by everyone and received a huge opposition. The Republicans, for instance, were quite angry at Roosevelt since he supported trade unions, and they thought the government was doing too much to help unemployed and lazy people. The Democrats, on the other hand, were mostly farmers coming out from the South, so they were against the Wagner Act, which gave more power to the trade unions. Individuals were also reluctant to the program, such as the governor of Louisiana or ecclesiastics, but the greatest opposition came from the Supreme Court. They believed some of the New Deal measures were unconstitutional, like the National Recovery Act and the Agricultural Adjustment Act. They considered that giving help to farmers was a matter for each state government, not the federal government, and all help to farmers stopped. Roosevelt's New Deal had indeed a mixed impact. To some extent, it definitely helped to improve social and political measures, but wasn't very effective for the economy. Like quoted for the Encyclopedia Britannica, perhaps the greatest achievement of the New Deal was to restore faith in American democracy at a time when many people believed that the only choice left was between communism and fascism. What actually brought back the US economy was indeed the economic growth created by the war effort in 1939.
Thank you for this very interesting economical analysis. Now we will analyze the outcomes of the New Deal presented by Lilou, Clara, Marine and Lynn.
Today we're getting into the economic history of the United States to explore a crucial moment of reform and transformation. The Second New Deal, a series of programs and policies launched under the administration of Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1930. To better understand the Second New Deal, we have the privilege of talking to specialists Lilou, Clara and Marine.
Hello.
Hello.
Marine, can you tell us about one of the major reforms of the Second New Deal, Wagner Act?
Yes, so the Wagner Act, passed in 1935 during the Great Depression, is an emblematic piece of legislation that profoundly transformed labor relations in the United States. The economic context of the time, marked by precarious working conditions and growing social conflict, motivated the adoption of this law. It granted workers the right to form trade unions and bargain collectively with employers. And politically, the Wagner Act marked a turning point in the US economic and social policy, recognizing the right of workers to organize and fight for better working conditions. It was also criticized by some employers and conservatives for its interventionism in labor relations.
Can you give us one of the main features of the Wagner Act?
Of course. So one of the most important features of the Wagner Act was the creation of the National Labor Relations Board, charged with overseeing union elections and remedying employers' anti-union practices. Over the decades, the Wagner Act was amended and supplemented by other laws.
Thank you so much, Marine. And you, Clara, can you explain another reform of the Second New Deal?
Yes. One of the main agencies created during the Second New Deal was the WPA, the Work Progress Administration. It was mainly created under the direction of Harry Hopkins.
And what are the characteristics of this agency?
It aimed at giving some work to millions of people using their skills, with loads of construction projects such as bridges, roads, public buildings, parks or airports. There was also a cultural aspect in the WPA with the Federal Arts Project, the Federal Writers Project, and last but not least, the Federal Theater Project, to employ artists and writers. The wages went from $15 to $90 per month. The US government funded all these projects in order to stimulate the economy again, with a cost of $11 billion for employment.
Thank you, Clara. And Lilou, what about the Social Security Act?
So the Social Security Act was also a great achievement of the Second New Deal. It was not a total pension system or a complete welfare system, but it provided substantial benefits to millions of Americans.
What measures have been put in place?
So this act had three major parts. The first one was the old age insurance for retirees from 65 years old. It was a supplemental retirement plan in which half of the funds came from the worker and half from the employer. Thus, it helped to make retirement comfortable for a million of people. The second major part was the unemployment compensation system that was funded by a federal tax on employers. The initial payments ranged from $15 to $18 per week. And the last major part was an aid to families with dependent children. And the last major part was an aid to families with dependent children, but also to disabled people. That's why the Social Security Act was one of the most important reform, because it created new social opportunities.
Thank you, Lilou. So for conclude, the Second New Deal marked a crucial period in American history, responding to the economic and social challenges caused by the Great Depression. Thanks to a series of ambitious reforms such as the Wagner Act.
Thank you to all the guests and see you next time.
American history through a student's eyes. From the 20s to the New Deal, back to the crisis.